Welcome to Telling Tinder Tales, the podcast where people confess their interesting dating stories with me, Chris O'Neill.
And me, Thomasin Lockwood. Today we'll be joined by two guests. Each will tell their dating story, each will answer to our questions.
Coming up on today's show.
And he turns to the couple and says, "Excuse me, I don't think you realize that she and I are on a date, and you're being rude right now."
Did the police ever pursue the matter further?
And I know I am always going to be that bad date story.
So we should have it on record that Josh referred to the date as any old rubbish.
No. So Thomasin, how's life been treating you?
Life's treating me fairly well. I've been on a couple of dates recently myself, actually. My own telling Tinder tale, actually, I would like to share if we have the time, is I went on a very lovely date with a man. It was this date with this lovely man. We said goodbye at the tube barriers at King's Cross, and he kissed me, which was fine, but I was just a bit taken aback by it. And I don't know if it's just me, but what do you say after you kiss someone for the first time? Because I still don't know, and I did not know then, because he kissed me. I looked at him and I said, "Get well soon." And then I got out my oyster, I went through the two barriers and I left. And
has he recovered?
Matt, he wasn't sick. Can you imagine though, if that was me, like I was sick and that's my way of telling him, like, you're going to be.
You are now contagious. Yeah. Okay, I think we've had enough of the awkward goodbyes. Do you want to introduce our first guest?
Absolutely. We have Carly here with us. Carly, tell us where you're calling from, and then when you're ready, we would love to hear your Tinder tale.
So I'm calling in from Amsterdam, but I am American. Amsterdam-based, American, born and bred. And so my crazy Tinder tale, one of many, is I matched with a Dutch guy on Tinder a couple years ago, and he seemed normal and fine. And so we didn't chat for very long, and it happened to be a beautiful sunny day. And he said, "Hey, you know, why don't we meet in the Vondelpark and have some wine?" I thought, oh, gorgeous day. It's afternoon date, you know, big public place, should be fine from a safety standpoint. So I said, sure, let's do it. So I go to the statue, this famous statue we're supposed to meet at, and I'm on time and I don't see the guy anywhere. I do see a picnic blanket set up next to the statue with like wine glasses and everything. I thought, okay, maybe that's his stuff, but he's not here. So I start calling him on the phone and I'm turning around trying to find him. And as I rotate back around towards the blanket, he's now there and he has no shirt on and he's laying like this on the ground.
Wait, for the listeners, could you describe?
He's, you know, like laying with like his hand on his hip and then the other hand kind of propping his head up like he was doing like an old timey like beach poster advertisement or something. And I was just like, okay, what an entrance. Like, I guess that's him. And so I went over and I said hi and sat down and he poured me some wine and we were sitting there chatting. And very quickly I realized, okay, I'm not going to go on another date with this guy because he was interrupting me. He wasn't asking really any questions. He was talking a million miles an hour. And I was like, okay, this guy's very annoying, but you know, the weather's nice, so I'm going to stay put. And so we continue to chat. I'm getting annoyed at the guy. And a girl that I know walks past us and I say hello to her. And it turns out she was meeting some friends right next to us, but they weren't there yet. And I was tired of the guy. So I said, you know, come on over and join us. You can hang out until your friends show up. She joins us. We're having a lovely time. Her friends show up and she moves over a few meters away to their picnic blankets. I go back to having to hang out with this guy and I'm like, ugh, sun's starting to go down. I should just get out of here. This guy sucks. And then right as I'm about to leave, my friend comes back with two additional friends, this gorgeous Dutch couple, like hot young guy, hot young girl. And she wanted to introduce us. So I start chatting with this beautiful young Dutch couple, and the girl in particular is super interested in me. She's asking me a million questions. I'm kind of mesmerized by her beauty, like, whoa, like enjoying the attention and not having talked to this annoying guy. And then at some point, he starts getting irritated because he's having to share my attention with these other people. And he turns to the couple and says, "Excuse me, I don't think you realize that she and I are on a date, and you're being rude right now." And he says this to the Dutch girl, and she's like, excuse me, you don't tell me what to do. I can do whatever I want. She and I are having a nice conversation. And she gets in his face, and then the guy starts arguing with her. So then the boyfriend steps in to defend his girlfriend. And next thing I know, the guys are rolling around on the ground having a fist fight. Like, and their friend starts screaming, like, you know, like, and I'm just like, dude, what are you doing? Like, stop, stop. And I'm trying to get in there and, you know, pull him off the other guy. It was total chaos. And one of their friends calls the police. And within like 60 seconds, a cop van shows up. And the crazy guy I was on a date with splits. Like, he jumps up, grabs two of his bags off the ground and jumps on his bicycle, still with no shirt on. And he just races off into the dark in this park. And I'm left there with just all of our stuff all over the ground. And I was so embarrassed. And I started apologizing to the couple, like, I'm so sorry. I never met this guy before. It was literally the first time I've ever met him. I can't apologize more. I really didn't expect this to happen. And the Dutch guy boyfriend said, oh, it's all right. You know, he was, after all, on a bunch of drugs. And I was like, what? It felt like that moment in The Usual Suspects where you find out that Kevin Spacey was Kaiser Sose the whole time. And it's like, like, and I'm remembering all the weird red flags over the course of the night. Like, he showed up with no shirt on. He was kept interrupting me. He kept going to the bathroom a lot, which I thought he just had a small bladder, but I think he was like doing speed in the bushes or something. And I was like, oh, that all makes sense. And then they said, hey, why don't you join us and have a beer? And I sat there for an hour with all these friends drinking a beer. And as I was cycling home, I thought, huh, that was actually like a pretty fun day. Even though in the middle, a guy got in a fist fight. So
fantastic.
That's one way to like turn around a bad situation. But I never went out with him again.
Wow. Wow. Thank you very much. Talk about kicking it off, Carly. My goodness. Wow. You know, that is a lovely silver lining, isn't it? Just how friendly the Dutch are, you know. So before I open it up to Josh and our co-host Chris, I am gonna kick off the questions. My first question is, what does a picnic prepared by a druggie look like exactly? How was the food?
It was perfectly acceptable. That was not a red flag. It was like, although I will say, I think he brought about 6 bottles of wine.
Ooh.
Like, there was a lot of wine, and he kept, every time I finished my glass, he was like filling it up again, you know? So I think he definitely wanted me to, you know, get some kind of fucked up along with him.
Oh my gosh. How many glasses did you get through? How many bottles?
I think we managed to get through like 3 bottles. So it was a good amount.
Wow. I'm surprised he managed to run away with all 3 with the police chasing him. Like, gotta take that.
I mean, he is Dutch, so they're very skilled cyclists.
Right. Chris.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by one thing. Do you think that the lady in the couple who arrived fancied you? From what you said, it seems she did.
I've definitely been hit on by men and women many times, but I think in this case it was kind of this like toxic female thing where it's not about them hitting on you, it's kind of like they want to like subsume you and like steal your life force. Like, yeah, I have that with women sometimes where they're just like trying to out alpha me basically by smothering me with attention.
Okay, so she wasn't being affectionate. Okay. Josh, do you want to come in here and ask Carly a question?
I do. Well, I think firstly, you've missed out on a good opportunity. That would have been a great second date. But the question I've got is, when he was posing at the beginning, was he in good shape?
Yes, he was very fit.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, like he looked, he was cut. I think it was the speed, to be honest. He had a lot of energy.
Fair, because it would have been a lot worse if it was the opposite.
That's true.
So how was the communication with him in order to set up the date?
It was fine before we met, but I will say after the whole incident happened, the next day I got a WhatsApp from him and he said, this is all your fault.
Oh, did he explain his reasoning?
I think just, you know, like I was being rude by talking to other people when we were on the date. So my rudeness is what precipitated him freaking out and punching someone.
Wow.
Okay. Just one other question. Did the police ever pursue the matter further, to your knowledge?
Oh, I mean, I think he managed to get away. So, but they also didn't stick around. They set off after him into the dark. And then one cop did stick around and get some information. But I mean, all I could do is kind of show like a phone number. And then I think also the other kids didn't want to press charges or something. Like that's a whole, you know, to do. So, I think they were happy to let it slide.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's... And there was no second date. All right, okay.
Fair enough.
Right.
I have one more question. How far into this were you living in Amsterdam for? Was this like your kind of welcome kind of date?
No. I should have known better.
Okay.
I'd been in Amsterdam for over a decade at that point. But what's funny is I don't do a lot of drugs. So I still have like a lot of naivete around that whole thing. So I think it could potentially happen even now. I just might catch on a little bit faster.
Okay. Thanks very much, Carly. That was fascinating, if worrying, insight into Dutch life and bicycling habits. They say the Dutch love their bicycles now. I can see why. They do them on drugs. Anyway, that's fine. So I think we'll go to our next guest. Josh, you have a story to tell us, and where are you coming from?
Absolutely. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm calling from London. And in my story, I don't think I'll come across quite as well as Carly. I'm the bad guy in this one. So what happened was, about 7 years ago, one of my best friends messaged me and said, "Josh, I've got the perfect girl for you. She's beautiful, she's intelligent, and she's a doctor." And I was like, wow, you know, that's amazing. I rarely get set up, which is probably a sign of an issue for me. But also, to get set up with a doctor, you know, I was like, oh, wow. So I asked for the number. He gave me the number. I then messaged the girl. We organized through chats what we were going to do. So the night arrives. I dress up, you know, quite smartly. I've picked a venue that's closer to her than me to be, you know, gentlemanly. And then we attend on the night. And as soon as we sit down in the bar, you know, I had these big plans of what to talk about and everything. But as soon as we sat down, my mind went blank. I could not think of a thing to say. And to be honest, I wasn't receiving much back from her. So I was getting stressed. I was getting dry mouth. I was like, what the hell do I say? I've done the pleasantries. I've mentioned what the weather's like. So at this point, I was like, okay, I know what I'll do. I will go to the toilet, and whilst I'm in the toilet, I'll look up some first aid prompts. And then come out, and I'll be all guns blazing, I'll charm her that way. That was the plan. And I came up with some great ideas, and so I was ready to head out back into the bar. But just as I was leaving, I thought, you know what, I'll very quickly message my friend who set us up on the date, and I'll just update him and give him the breakdown of what's going on. So I did. I took my phone out and I messaged him saying, "Mate, I'm really not sure why you set me up on this date. We've got nothing in common. I'm really, really dying here." Then put my phone away and headed back out. And as I was walking towards the table, I saw her pick up her phone and then look right back at me and said, "You should be really more careful who you text."
No.
I have never been more embarrassed in my life. The worst bit about it was the very sweet girl said, "I thought it was going really well."
Oh.
Now, it was absolutely damaging. I couldn't repair the damage. So it didn't last much longer after that. But ever since that day, whenever my friend, who frequently has parties, invites me to a party, I have to ask him, "Is she going?" Because I can't be there if she's there. And I know I am always going to be that bad date story. So that's my story.
Thomason, do you want to come in on this?
Absolutely, I do. First of all, Chris, I'm wondering whether we have this young lady maybe joining us in a later podcast episode.
Good God, no, please, no.
Telling us her Tinder tale, because it's gonna be worse from her end, is, but like, you know, you just have to deal with the guilt. She has to deal with the, like, what? Oh my gosh. Okay. So first of all, I do have to commend her for how classy she was with dealing with it. And also, you know, you should forgive yourself, Josh. It was a mistake, and it does.
Thank you.
My question is, how long had it been since, like, your last date? If you're struggling so much with what human beings do when they first meet each other that you're like Googling questions in the toilet.
A fair question. But to be honest, I get quite nervous on for dates, and if I'm, you know, on the spot, I really panic, and potentially it's a bit of social anxiety. So I couldn't think of a thing to say. Just couldn't, and it was definitely on me.
You could think of what to text your mate though. That you were sending essays, like, she's this, she's that, like, inspiration pit there.
Absolutely. But to be fair, I can talk about any rubbish with my friend. If I was going, it wouldn't quite work, the conversation I would have with my friend with the girl.
So we should have it on record that Josh referred to the date as any old rubbish.
No. She was delightful. It's all on me. It was all on me.
And a girl, how old is she? Because you said she's a doctor.
My mum still calls all her friends girls, and therefore I've taken it on from her.
This isn't actually a podcast, Josh. This is an intervention. I hope you realise this.
I'm sensing it.
No, we love you, Josh.
We may anonymise Josh in order that he has the potential for a future relationship. Anyways, yes. I suppose we better go to our other guest, Carly. Have you a question or a comment or an observation?
I don't want to gang up on Josh, but I was wondering if he does have a history of self-sabotage. It sounds like from the beginning you had the idea that she was too good for you. So maybe that's part of the reason that you accidentally sent the text message. Usually, if someone makes you feel very nervous and uncomfortable, it's a sign that they're not the right person. So your perfect person should feel like home. Like, you should immediately feel comfortable and safe around them. So it's for the best, you know, and you hurt one fancy doctor's feelings in the process. Fuck her. She's probably rich.
Well, thank you very much, Carly. I appreciate that. And yes, I have a history of self-sabotage. Absolutely. 300%.
I have one other question, Josh. Are you now in a relationship?
No. I've damaged a few other options since, so I think it's best to remain single.
I see.
I think that men just don't understand what women are impressed by. So they sometimes I look at men's profiles and I think to myself, like, I think they're making their profile for other guys and not for women. I mean, we get dressed up and we put makeup on for other women, but like, guys enjoy that in the process to an extent as well. Whereas like, you see guys and they're like, oh, here's my cool motorcycle and here's, you know, me doing construction stuff and here's me with the fish and a dead rhino or whatever. And it's like, I can imagine other guys thinking this is cool, but women don't, and I think they're just oblivious that they're trying to be impressive and show off just to completely the wrong audience.
I have a question for everybody, really. Does anyone have any idea where this fish thing came from? Why do men think that holding, I mean, a dog, yeah, maybe a cat even, but a fish? Anyone any thoughts on why fish?
I think it gives a provider sort of look.
Right, I see.
Chris's face.
Okay. I just think of all the animals, of all the entities to hold, a fish, inherently smelly, likely to go off, raw. I mean, even fish and chips would be perhaps more attractive. I just don't know. I'm baffled why exactly this thing took off. I can understand the dog. Dog, yeah, fair enough. Makes you look sort of sympathetic, but fish? I don't know.
Well, I also just wonder whether we're overthinking it, and just many men generally just love fishing and are just really proud of their catch and want to share it. You know how like that thing was going around about the Roman Empire? Like Chris, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Never.
Josh, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
I'm going to be annoying and say I do actually occasionally think about it. No, not on a daily basis.
But how often, roughly?
Maybe it'll come around on a weekly. It'll somehow randomly come about in a weekly tangential thought.
Okay, so this is a thing. Because, Chris, I'm afraid, just like with the fish, you are an anomaly, my friend. Because this thing was going around on the internet where girlfriends would ask their boyfriends, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? And they're all saying, like, about once a week. They're like, what do you mean? So I'm just wondering whether it's just one of those things where just guys like fishing and they like to think about the Roman Empire. Maybe it's that straightforward. That's okay, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Roman Empire, I mean, I'm not sure I think about crucifixion and lions and stuff. It's not really high. It's never been on my agenda to encounter a live lion and be eaten.
Okay, it's very telling though when you think of the Roman Empire rather than thinking of like architecture. You're like, lion.
Yeah. I have to say, I can't understand it. I never thought of it. And also, I don't like fishing. I see no point. Okay? So, that's it.
See, for me, because I'm bi, right? And for me, rather than appealing to other men or other women, it's just appealing to other people who have ADHD. that's my language, you know.
The shorthand these days for somebody with ADHD, by the way, is a comedian. That's just the way it works now. You aren't really allowed to be. I feel terribly left out that I apparently don't have ADHD and therefore still try and pretend to be a comedian. And it's really terrible. It's a huge disadvantage not to have substantial mental health issues and sexual ambiguity to try and pursue a career in comedy. It's just not fair.
Well,
and I'm white and male and well-to-do. I have no chance. Hence, I have a podcast.
I mean, Chris is our diversity hire.
Yes, I am.
Just before we all say goodbye, let's just see if people have anything to plug.
Sure. You can find me on Instagram under the Instagram handle Josh Ing Taylor. Josh ING _ Taylor.
Oh, very droll.
Thank you.
Carly, have you anything to add on this?
So if you want to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram handle is Carly_Blairazona, since I come from Arizona. And I organize a comedy show in Amsterdam every Thursday called Oh My Word. And you can follow us on Instagram at OMW Comedy. We love to have visiting comedians. So if you're passing through town, feel free to hit us up.
Good. Excellent. See you there. Okay. So, all right. So, Thomas, do you want to say goodbye to these nice people who might be listening?
Goodbye to you, our wonderful listeners. If this episode made you smile, make someone happy and send them a link.
And Telling Tinder Tales will be coming to Leicester Comedy Festival, Glasgow, Derby, Shrewsbury, Buxton and Edinburgh. Come along and say hello. And you can even tell us your tale.
Everybody say goodbye then.
Thank you, bye.
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 Bye, everybody. Have a good one. Thank you very much.
Telling Tinder Tales is hosted and produced by me, Chris O'Neill, co-hosted by Thomason Lockwood, co-produced by Lucy Regan, with music by Kinsas Moriera. It's a Jester's Dublin comedy production and is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Tinder. If you like us, instead of swiping right, follow us on Instagram and or TikTok at Telling Tinder Tales.